Welcome to Tuesday, Australia, and welcome to Surprise Tuesday guest Mikey Robbins.
It's freaking me out.
Is it?
I'm not here on a Monday. I didn't know what to do yesterday, Merrick. I was just walking around the streets going, what's happening?
What do you do on a Monday?
What do I do on a Monday if I can't see my mate Merrick? So I thought I'll come in Tuesday and see if anyone else has turned up.
Well, mate, the important thing is you're here and we've got a big show.
Huge.
We're going to speak to the ultimate fisherman. He's actually the
Jesus!
He's not a fisherman. He's actually technically a fishmonger. He just gets the fishes and then just goes, look at this for a trick.
There you go. Now,
we're going to speak to a guy called Matt Watson. He's the host of Ultimate Fishing. And he's a guy who, wait for it, jumps out of helicopters to wrestle fish.
I've seen this. This guy's full on.
Yeah, he's a Kiwi. So we'll have an interpreter on standby. Speaking of interpreters, we'll also have the honey badger in today as well. So look, at some stage, you're going to hear English today on the show. I just don't know at what point. Lots more, including a bit more of a hint on Adventure Island.
Not everything is as it seems.
At least I didn't talk about your third nipple.
It's not a third nipple, you know what it is?
Yeah.
I was eating a packet of freckles and one melted on my chest.
American Australia, Triple M.
How often do I do that where I just turn around on a Saturday afternoon, look at my chest and go, "That's something's melted on my chest that I've eaten.
A freckle.
That's not good." Mikey Robbins in this afternoon.
Hey guys.
Lots on the show today. I'll be explaining what Adventure Island is. If you haven't heard about it already, it's bloody awesome. We'll also be speaking to Matt Watson, who is the most extreme fisherman in the world. The honey badger will be on the show in this hour. But we're going to kick it off. We're changing things around a little bit today. And we're going to kick it off with drunk or a kid.
Triple M's American Australia presents...
Photographed naked in an empty bathtub, wearing sunglasses with a toothbrush in my mouth, holding a warm cup of milk.
Was I drunk? I get knocked out. Or was I a kid?
That is probably the best explanation of exactly what we do with that. Because
yeah,
even I've spoken to that guy and I can't remember if he was drunk or a kid.
Exactly. I could see that happening. That could go both ways.
That could happen tonight. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a thing I could do. Give us a call, 133353. If you want to play this game, it's essentially you tell us a story about a time in your life when you were either drunk,
mm-hmm,
or you were just a kid, and it sounds like something a drunk would do, and we try to decipher whether or not you were indeed a child or if you were drunk. Mike, you want to kick one off?
Kick one off. Okay, me and my mate Fang, that was his nickname, me and Fang got into trouble from Fang's mother for putting chocos in her washing machine.
Choco, like that dodgy apple thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In the washing machine.
Yeah, that choco vine at Fang's parents' place.
Choco is the grenade of children.
Yeah.
I'm going to say kids.
Drunk.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I know.
Wait, you're putting chocos in a washing machine.
I'm drunk. God, it seemed like fun at the time.
But in a washing machine?
We weren't that old.
Wash them until they become apples?
We thought, let's just put them in the washing machine and see what happens. What could go wrong?
That sounds like a party I want to be at. I want to be at that party.
Actually, you'd have liked Fang.
I would have loved that party. I would love Fang. I would have loved everything about putting fruit into a washing machine.
Yep.
At a friend's house.
Now, Fang was a wild guy. He's now a very well-respected surgeon, but back in the day...
Wow. I want that guy to operate on me. Yeah, I do. He's going, hang on a second, nurse, pass me a choco.
It's Dr. Fang.
Okay, I'm going to kick off one. Okay. Family home.
Oh.
Bull ant nest.
Oh.
I've got a twig, shoved it in the bull ant nest, aggravated the bull ants. One of them has crawled up the twig onto my hand. Drunk or a kid?
Gee.
Mm.
Thing is, by the time you're an adult, you've had enough experience with bull ants that even no matter how drunk you are, you would know to avoid them.
They're just so easily antagonized.
In that case, I'm saying drunk.
I was drunk, 6 weeks ago at my mum's place. I was at my mum, even my mum said to me, she goes, what are you doing? You're a 42-year-old man. I said, Mum, I can't help it.
Bull ants.
I said, look at them. You make one angry and they all come and go, why's Gary angry?
Yeah.
Why's Gary so angry? Who's doing this to Gary? And I was like, it's me. I'm enormous. Look at me.
That's my mate. That's my mate you poke with a stick.
What are you going to do? Bite me? And then they do.
And then it hurts.
I've been horrendously attacked by bull ants so many times in my life. But you know what? It's always good to see the lack of expression on their face when you aggravate them with their big jaws. Too quick for you. 133353. Give us a call now if you would like to play drunk or a kid.
Triple M's American Australia presents...
I broke my arm going down a McDonald's slide.
Climbed up over the fence. When I landed, there was a boat, and I smashed my face and my head on the propeller.
Was I drunk? I get knocked out. Or was I a kid?
Let's be honest, guys. with you. It could go either way. And that's what we're doing. Taking your calls on whether or not you were drunk or a kid. Mikey Robbins and I will try to decipher the clues in your story to figure out whether or not you're a child or a stupid, stupid adult.
This is as close as I get to detective work.
Yeah. We do actually have a bit of methodology to it. We try to break it down.
Trying to think our way through it.
Listen to the clues and see how we go. See if you can deceive us. We've got John in Nunawading. Hello, mate.
Hey, Matt. How are you, mate?
Really good indeed. All right. You're probably just nicking down the boulevard for a cold one, so I won't keep you for too long.
You don't remember me, do you, Matt?
No.
I'm your favourite hyphenated... lactose intolerant barista.
Yeah, Jono! You're back!
Hey, yo, mate.
Good, mate. You snuck in under another pseudonym as John from Nunawading, but I like it. It's good. Mate, good to have you on the show again. Mate, we're playing Drunk or a Kid or on Extremely High on Caffeine. You choose.
Yep, all right. I've been two of them today already. All right, so jumped over a puddle. So I thought I was being clever. Snapped my Achilles.
Whoa!
Jumped.
Landed in a little hole and snapped the Achilles.
Achilles, I reckon, Mikey's an old man injury, right? It is. It's a classic. The calf and the Achilles are old man injuries.
In fact, I hate to say this, I had my first summer walk in thongs on the weekend. And I can feel my Achilles actually
just
aching,
burning
from just going up the shop in thongs.
Yeah. You were drunk, John.
You were drunk, mate.
Yeah, drunk.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Hey! Look
at that. Detective work. John, do you like that level of detective work?
Yeah, it's pretty good, mate.
Yeah, I'm pretty wrapped with myself, I'm not going to lie. Good on you, mate. Thanks for calling in again. Great to have you back on the show. Let's get to Jaden. Hi, Jaden.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Really good indeed. All right, drunk or a kid, hit us with your story.
All right, so I'm from country Victoria. Me and my mate are trekking through his farm and we come across an electric fence and he had one of those big, bright spotlights. And he stepped over it. He was a lot taller than me. Uh-huh. He pushed it down with the spotlight. And he said, right, step over. And I said, no, you watch this. And I've gone to scissor kick over it. And I've made it over, but I've brushed it straight up into his armpit.
Oh, mate, actually... Well, I don't care. All I can say is legend.
Number one, congratulations on not electrocuting your knackers because I just so thought it was going to go there, right? So that it's nice to have a story where somebody on the show in one day where somebody hasn't electrocuted their private parts.
Hang on. The show hasn't finished yet, mate.
Yeah, I know. All right. Still early days. It's not even the segment's finished. Still a chance. I don't know. I reckon hit his mate.
But see, one's taller than the other, so that makes me think kid.
Oh, good. Armpit. Got him in the armpit, he said,
yes,
didn't he?
So, well, we can't ask how tall the fence was because that's the giveaway.
I reckon you're right. The height thing is that you're right for kids. Yeah, I'm with you, Mikey. Kid.
We're going kid, mate.
Yeah, definitely a kid.
Yeah!
Hey!
On a roll!
Mez and Mikey 2 for 2.
Well done. Hey, Jaden. Jaden, this weekend, go out and electrocute your nuts and come back and tell us how it is next week. Love that story.
We'll do.
Yeah, like you don't know, Merrick.
Yeah. I just want to hear it from a different perspective, not from a crying. Okay, let's move on. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, guys.
All right, mate. Tell us your story, drunk or a kid.
All right. Here it is. Overwhelmingly undersized Spider-Man outfit. squeezed into it and decided it'd be a good idea to climb the side trellis on the side of the carport. Jumped off the carport onto the trampoline, expecting this awesome air. 90 degrees to the trampoline, I smacked myself onto the paling fence and knocked myself out and broke my nose.
This is a tough one,
that's
Adrian.
That's a real tough one.
All right, let's try and break down the clues. Number one,
undersized Spider-Man outfit. Now, let's face it, we've all got one of them at home in the wardrobe.
Yeah.
Climb up the...
But he said he was surprised by the fact that he didn't rebound properly. That says to me more like a kid. Like when you're an adult, you go, this probably won't rebound, but I'm drunk, so it won't stop me.
Okay, here's the other one too. He said he climbed up a trellis. Now, if he's too big to fit into an adult Spider-Man costume, a trellis won't hold him. That's my thinking.
Yeah, Mikey, you've changed my mind. I was moving more towards drunk, but I think you're right. I reckon kid?
Kid.
Well done, fellas.
Yeah!
We've never done this.
This is fantastic. Let's get out before we ruin it. course, we all know fishing is one of the biggest sports in the world and people love it. But you think, oh, God, what's the next level for fishing?
Now, how can I make this even more exciting?
This way.
There's a prolific amount of mahi-mahi, tuna, wahoo and even marlin out here. We're going to go out here and see if we can find one of those fish. And I'm going to jump out of the sky and grab one. Quite simple, really.
Yeah, that's right. You heard it. Jump out of the sky from a helicopter and get a marlin. Yeah. What's that? Where's your fishing rod, mate? I don't need one. That's because he's Matt Watson. He's the host of Ultimate Fishing. You can catch it on 7, mate, Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. And he joins us online right now. G'day, Matt. Thanks for your time.
How are you guys?
Good, mate. Now, Matt, first question. It's actually on our Facebook page as well. That video of you jumping on the back of the marlin went absolutely all around the world, went viral. I've watched it many times and loved it. But did you notice too, about a week after it was out, people started doubting that, you know, you'd actually done it? Can you clear it up once and for all? You actually did it, didn't you, mate?
Did it, but not in a day. It took 11 months.
Right. That's a long time, yeah, for the chopper to be in the air.
Particularly on a budget like ours, mate, when it's like a mate of a mate that you're saying, hey, can we just do a little bit of flying time for us?
Yeah.
I've got this idea. Well, it was actually the guy with the helicopter's idea that was sort of came up over a few beers. And he would fly guys up in the backcountry here in New Zealand where they used to jump out of the helicopters and grab a hold of gear to do live capture.
Right.
And he said, you should try that with a shark or a marlin. And, I'd had enough beers to actually agree it was a good idea.
No, when you'd had the beers, Matt, you said yes to the shark. And then when the beers wore off, you went, let's make it marlin. Let's just try a marlin. Mate, what do you reckon, when you jumped out of the helicopter into the water, jumped on top of a gigantic marlin, which just say rough, you know, for argument's sake, it was say 6 or 7 feet long. What do you reckon that marlin was thinking at the time?
Well, you see, marlin don't really think. Like all fish, they're extremely stupid.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, these are things that eat bits of plastic. Hard to say, really. It wouldn't have been a standard day, but whatever it thought, it would have forgotten about it about 5 seconds later.
I believe its first thought was, there was a kiwi on my back. This could go anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's when you landed on it, the fish's face is like going, oh, my God, I'm about to experience the weirdest sex I've ever had in my life. Number one, this guy is not even a fish. He's not even ocean-born.
Now, mate, I've got to ask, once you've done that and you're famous for that, how do you top it?
Well, you get around with your mates and you drink more beers and come up with more ideas, to be honest. And, you know, I just throw some shit out there, and if they spit their beer out, I know it's a good one.
Right. It's a spit test.
That's a great idea.
So, so there's been marlin on a surfboard.
Yeah, yep.
A recurring theme, which you'll see a lot of in this current series that's on in Aussie at the moment, is I found an old bit of farming equipment out the back of my farm shed. It's an electric fence reel, which is basically an old plastic reel. And I cart it all around the world and see if I can catch 1,000-pound fish on it, like giant tuna and swordfish and marlin.
Yep.
And, and more often than not, it kind of goes wrong. But we have a few laughs along the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's because when you came up with the idea, you'd had a few cans. Matt, what's next on your kind of bucket list? Well, it'd actually be a bait bucket list. What's next on your bucket list for fishing?
Oh, man. Honestly, it is just about limitless. I've got more ideas and places I want to go than I've got time in my life. I do want to get to Ascension Island in the middle of the Atlantic. We did a little bit of filming for this current series, a few other islands in the Atlantic, and it seems like the more corners of the world you go to and meet more fishermen, the more stories you hear about of some giant fish somewhere. So, spearfishing the giant yellowfin they've got in Ascension Island is definitely on the list.
Here's the other thing too. I don't know if you know this, but if you like fish, there are shops that sell it.
Mm. We've got a whole market. We've got a market.
Yeah. A whole market. Yeah.
No.
Markets everywhere. Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
No, no, seriously.
Yeah.
No.
In New Zealand, I know you guys are bound. You absolutely have to get out there and get it yourself, but you can get it in shops as well.
Really?
Yeah,
do you guys have that in Aussie?
We also have chops too. We've got chops as well, Matt.
Oh, look. We promised we wouldn't go to the fish jokes.
I never, ever promise. Matt, I'm married to a Kiwi. I've got license. I can do whatever I like.
Mate, yeah, fair enough.
What is, just lastly, Matt, what is the biggest fish, you know, the most remarkable creature that you've caught fishing?
Oh, wow. I'm always taken aback by fish, and just when you think you've caught the biggest, you see another bigger one. I would probably say the giant Atlantic bluefin tuna. I spent some time in the water with it, and they're like a blooming cattle beast with fins.
Yeah.
And like they were swimming past me at, you know, 50 miles an hour.
Yep.
And on the film, it physically looks like they're hitting me and knocking me out of the way. That was actually just the force of the water they were displacing.
Yeah.
As I'm trying to hand feed them, sort of herring in the water. Yeah, that's probably the one that stuck with me.
They're an incredible creature. Not so tough when they're in a tin, though, are they, Matt? Not quite as daunting then. Matt Watson, mate, an absolute pleasure to speak to you. We can see your show Ultimate Fishing on 7, mate, Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. Best of luck to you, mate, and look forward to seeing you jumping on another fish and scaring the bejesus out of it.
Cheers.
Good on you, mate. Guys. And I want to open up the phones now. 133353 for a bit of a top that fishing edition.
Have you got some fishing stories, Maz?
Yeah, I've got a story. It's a fishing story, but not one that you would normally expect. I'll tell that in a minute. But if you want to give us a call now, 133353, if you've got a better fishing story or one you think that could equal that, play top that fishing edition. Top that. Fishing edition, if you've got a great fishing story that you'd like to share with us. Just very quickly, Mikey, I said before that I've got a fishing story. This is a little bit of a different one. I was sitting at a mate's place and he had, just the back balcony of his house, a little veranda, and down onto a lawn. And why not? We're having a few beers. And we noticed his neighbour's cat was always lurking at the bottom of the house there. And it was my idea. I said, let's get a feather, take the hook off the fishing rod, and we'll just leave the lead weight on with a feather there. And we fished for this cat for about 6 hours. The cat loved it. We had the best time. Oh. We were drinking. We had about the best time we'd ever had. 1 week later, we did it again. Cat came back, loved it. Then the cat moved in and we had a problem. That wasn't a cat. But
okay.
It's catfishing. It's a different type of catfishing. Don't Google catfishing.
Do not Google catfishing.
Google catfishing. You won't see an image of that. But we're taking your calls on 133353. We've got Ralph. Hello, Ralph.
How you going, Miz?
Really good, mate. All right, play top that fishing edition.
I thought I was a little wreck hunt when I was about 13. I had a surf rod and all the gear and that, and I hassled my dad to go fishing down the beach, and he had a rod, and I kept going, you know, I'm not catching anything, and dad goes, oh, don't worry about it. And I said, have you even got any bait on? He goes, no, I just like having a stubby and, you know, watching the waves and that. And anyway, three hours passed, and I reeled in my line and, you know, cracked it and said, I want to go home, and he goes, all right. And he reeled in his baitless rig and he had a fish on.
Well, he caught a fish with no bait.
Yeah, he trout hooked it on the way in. So now every time I say we're going to go fishing, he says, yeah, I'm the pro. And you know.
He foul hooked it also, no skull dragging. He's dragged that in. So he's caught a fish on the way back. Do you can remember what fish it was, Ralph?
It was a tiny, tiny little bay trout. Yeah, it was tiny.
Yeah, but still.
It did something.
Yeah, I mean, look, he went out there with no bait. I think that's hilarious that he's actually casting, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're not going to put bait on it, Ralph, don't even bother throwing it in.
He just liked having a beer and watching it.
Yeah. Ralph, your dad tries to hide from your mum, you know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, all right. Just wanted to, I think we're all on that page there. Okay, here we go. This can only be good, Mikey. Good sign. Troy, hello.
How you going, mate?
Very good. All right, Troy. Fishing story?
Yeah, well, me and my mate back when our teenage years went fishing down at Pier 1. Sitting there, I'm catching fish after fish all day. He's getting frustrated, couldn't catch anything.
Mm-hmm.
Said to him I had to go to the bathroom, so watch me rod. It was a custom rod that my brother made, so it was precious.
Mm-hmm.
Come back and the rod's gone. And so I said to him, all right, don't be smart. Where's me rod? He goes, I haven't touched it. I said, where's me rod, man? He goes, I haven't touched it. So I grabbed his rod off him, put a big treble on it, started casting it off the pier, caught my line, spooled my reel, got my rod back, and got a 2 kilo flathead.
Oh, no way!
Outstanding!
No way!
That is
brilliant. Yeah. Mate, getting a 2 kilo flathead is good on its own, Troy, but getting your rod back.
Yeah, also, too, Troy, I'd never use that sentence again. I'm going to the bathroom, watch me rod.
I didn't put that one together. Well done, Troy. That was very, very well played. Going to be hard to top that for top that, but we'll see how we go. We've got Tim. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, how you going, boys?
Really good, mate. What does every person we've spoken to for this segment? It's all like they've just had a big mouthful of salty water. Hmm?
It's true.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, a mate of mine up the bush, he caps firewood for a living. And he was going along with his truck, and there was a big tree leaning down into the water. So he hooked it up with his truck, and he took off dragging it back in so he could cut it up. And he pulled up a 12-foot punt with three fishermen in it.
Oh! He caught fishermen!
They were tied up to it fishing. He didn't know until he had them up on the bank.
Oh, mate, that is fantastic!
Catching humans! That's incredible! Those blokes must have been spewing.
Imagine they just... weren't happy about it. No. They just went back to the axe, chopped their rope off, and just kept going.
Outstanding.
Well played, Tim. Nick Cummins, a.k.a. The Honey Badger.
I wish I had a nickname that cool.
Yeah, strangely enough, I think he's given it to himself. He is, of course, a Wallabies legend. He's known for playing rugby union, but he's also, too, known for his own antics and his vernacular.
Funny guy.
He's almost better known on YouTube than he is on the paddock. And I caught up with him the other day because he's the new face of online fashion brand The Iconic. And I had a chat to Nick. He is... a very interesting bloke. Nick Cummins, welcome to the studios.
Oh, thank you.
Mate, first of all, you were a little bit hesitant then. You worried that I'm going to bring up the fact that your hair's permed? Is that with the...
Oh, look, like we had this conversation earlier. I told you it was genetics.
Genetics? Yeah. What's the genetic hair product you're putting in your hair there, Nick?
And to add to that, it's about $49.95 if you're busting, mate.
Right, is it? What do you put in there? What's your product of choice, Nick?
A lot of natural grease. Basically, if you leave it for an extended period of time, it tends to accumulate in one's hair and appears to be a slick gel look.
Right. It's not half a ton of Schwarzkopf, is it?
Okay, spell it.
Mate, first of all, let's start with, tell people where you got the nickname Honey Badger from.
Oh, the Honey Badger. Yeah, look, I spent a bit of time on that animal planet and I come across this little badger unit, and it would I saw it in a one-on-one blue with a fully grown male lion, and he was on his back getting dusted, and he crawled to the back of the lion while he's on the ground, and he clawed the canasters off the big fella.
Did he?
Yeah, yep. And then the big fella trotted off around the corner and gone belly up and died of blood loss. And I thought, well, that sort of way to approach life and rugby is, that's the mindset.
So go out in the field, attack him in the canakers, and then wait till they go off and bleed to death. And was the plan?
Well, yeah, but everything but the canasters, yeah.
Right, okay. You're here representing The Iconic, which is the Iconic menswear range. I have no idea what The Iconic is. Explain it to me, mate.
Mate, basically, she's your one-stop shop. You get online. It's just making things easier, mate. That's all. Like, you got... average roosters like myself. This is why I think blokes can really get something out of it, because when you're an average run of the mill rooster, you just want something efficient, something basic, and something fast. And for me, you've got all the brands. I think it's like 700 brands and 45,000 items you can choose from. And all these blokes that are struggling, get online, have a look around, and you're about it. You're set.
My missus goes on it. I was only joking when I said I didn't know what it was. My missus is on it all the time, always buying shit we don't need. So it's good.
Yeah, but mate, you're looking good. So
I look great, don't I?
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock it for that.
Mate, I'm going to test you, because you are the face of The Iconic, and I always want to know, a quick test of fashion crimes here. Have you been guilty of any of these, Nick? Crocs.
I did a stint in Japan, and yes.
Hypercolor T-shirts.
18, yes.
Socks and sandals.
Socks and Crocs.
Oh, two Crocs. That's a war crime. Mate, we're going to take you to the Hague.
I was nearly deported.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Is Birkenstocks.
Yes.
Oh, you are joking.
Look, these all, trust me.
You are joking. With a moustache like that, I shouldn't be surprised.
Please
though, seriously.
Don't judge me on these things, because it was sponsored duties we had to do them for certain teams. And, you have to wear the gear.
Right, okay. Ed Hardy.
No.
Oh, innocent. Your Honor, innocent. Well done. White jeans.
Ooh, again, 18 guilty.
You're not very well. Finally, and this is a loaded question, a Whispering Jack leather jacket, a la Farnsey.
Okay, well, not the same brand, but yes, I have. Look, it was an experimental phase, and I feel like I've grown and learned from that. Yeah.
What were you wearing with that? Other than the moustache, was it just that jacket? Because that you could... that and a pair of Birkenstocks?
It was like Argentinian leather or something. It was... my old man got it for my birthday. It was one of those special moments, but...
But you are representing the Iconic. It's to help launch the 2016 menswear campaign, helping to feel blokes. Helping to make blokes feel comfortable for any dressing occasion. One tip for blokes in fashion, the never do's of fashion. What is it?
Mate, I think personally, if you go off what your mate said is cool, you're going to get out there and everyone's just going to see straight through it. I reckon if you've handpicked it yourself, that means you're exuding an energy that makes you feel good and everyone around you will just attract to that and love it.
Mate, you know what? That's actually a pretty good answer. I expected something pretty shit and that was... Well, mate, I'm not going to... You nailed that.
Mate, it's proven. Have a look on the Iconic site there. They got Academy brand, Calvin Klein, Scotch and Soda, the whole shebang. It's all there. Get on the good gear.
Nick Cummins, an absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks very much for your time.
Good on you, mate.
Time for this.
Australia has the big pineapple, the big banana, and now, thanks to Triple M, it's got the big question. The only difference is you don't have to spend 6 hours in the car to get to the big question.
Give us a call on 133353 if you have been a part of or involved with the Australian underworld, the criminal underworld. And we're not talking about, you know, doing a burg or breaking into a car or, you know.
Organised.
Yeah.
We're talking organised.
Proper organised crime. If you've had associations with it, we can affect your voice.
Be anonymous.
It's very easy for us to do it. We can protect your identity. But I want to know, and you don't have to give us any more details or any more information than you're comfortable with, but it's a pretty full-on thing. Australian underworld, the Australian criminal element, the mafia, if you like. Because it seems, Mikey, that it's starting to build momentum again. I know organised crime is always around, but just last night, Pasquale Barbero, he's a 35-year-old man living in Sydney, was executed gangland style in a way that we'd be more familiar with stuff from Underbelly. In fact, one of his family members was executed with Jason Moran in the crimes that were focused for Underbelly, the television series, many years ago.
His grandfather was executed too, and here's one of those weird notes. Looks like the getaway car was an Audi Q7. They found burned out. If you've ever noticed, and whenever these situations occur, it's always an Audi. They seem to like Audis. I don't know what it is.
Fast.
Yeah. Sort of anonymous.
Reliable. I don't know. Maybe they like reliable vehicles. Maybe they like German technicals. I don't know.
But the thing is that this comes 2 weeks after another crime figure, Aman Asar, was shot dead outside his George's Hall home. And as you said before, these things tend to happen in waves. We go through a quiet period, then bang.
But at the moment, here's the thing. The organised crime is happening. We always know it's happening. But every now and again, you get these kind of moments, flashpoints. And, you know, of course, there's been a mysterious two deaths on the Gold Coast. Yep. I can't speculate as to what's happened there. That's with the authorities, but everybody would know about that. A man referred to as, I think, is known as the reptile, a lizard man, covered in tattoos. Melbourne, of course, you know, we know from the Underbelly series, there is a lot of a large criminal element there, organised crime element. But here's the thing.
Yes, mate.
Is it's getting violent again now.
Well, they've already set up a strike force about today's shooting.
Yep. And so things are heating up. The cops will set up a task force when they know that there is momentum building towards it. But here's the thing. There's lots of people, lots of celebrities too, in America and here in Australia. Footballers and...
Actors.
Yes.
Musos.
People with profile already associating with known criminals. So these people are known to the law. And there's kind of, I suppose, a little bit of mystery or mystique about it that they're enjoying. But here's the thing. Is that the underworld plays a very, very dangerous game and you have to be very, very careful because you can never owe a favour to these people. Nothing is for free. You can never owe a favour. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I've had great contact with the criminal world, but once, Mikey, many, 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 many years ago, I went to do some work for a mate of mine at a pub. And whilst I was there, I was just serving drinks. That's what I did. I was just a barman. And, this guy came in and he was, I would say, a kind of interesting looking character.
Right.
Like if you said to me, does he look like he works in the criminal underworld? I would have said 100%.
Yeah.
And this guy bought an Ouzo and Coke. And I said, all right, no dramas, get your Ouzo and Coke, turn around and give it to him. And he just gave me a $20 note and an envelope, yellow envelope. And I went, okay. And I just took the envelope. I didn't know what was in it. I opened up and I would guesstimate $5,000-$10,000 in 50s and 100s.
That's one hell of a tip.
That's what I thought. And I just looked at him and I went, and he goes, that's not for you. And I went, I gathered that. And I went, this is weird. So I just took it and went and put it under the till. And then I went to my mate who worked there, and I just said, weirdest thing just happened. And he goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, this place is crooked. And I went, oh, great. Thanks for the heads up, Tiger. And he goes, yeah, it's a laundry. This is what this place does. It launders money. And I was like, I won't be here again.
No.
Thanks.
Thanks for the job at Old Cold.
I was just helping out at the time, and I was only there for one day.
Just lucky.
And I just went, you know what? I don't reckon Watsy is cut out for this kind of caper.
I accidentally, a couple of years ago, spent a night out with, wasn't meeting them, just ran into the nightclub, with some Russian guys who were pretty heavy. My wife was with me, and we're just having a few drinks. They were charming blokes, quite confident, shall we say. But there was this woman with them, and she must have been like in her early 20s. And she just had the most scary, very pretty, scary shark eyes.
Mm.
Like you looked at her and you went, you've seen stuff that people shouldn't really see.
Yeah, and you're never, ever, ever allowed to speak about it. I want to take your calls, 133353. As I say, we can easily protect your identity by changing your voice, and you can use an alias, whatever you like. Are you or have you been part of the Australian criminal underworld? What's it like? Is it like we see an underbelly? Is it dangerous? Are these kind of retaliation killings that we see, is this about to ramp up? Are we starting to see the start of something, not the end of something?
That's a good point.
And what is the fixation with people now wanting to be seen to be part of the criminal underworld? And how dangerous is it for them to involve themselves in that world? 133353, give us a call. Mysterious deaths on the Gold Coast, an execution last night in Sydney, and always a looming criminal element in Melbourne's underworld as well. Of course, there's crime everywhere. We know that there's organised crime throughout Australia, regardless of where you are.
But it does seem to be a period where it's bubbling up to the surface yet again.
And the fascination with people and the criminal element is only building. As I say, there's celebrities, football players, love to be seen associating with the criminal element.
Let's face it, we've all been raised on, you know, mob movies, Sopranos. We love all that sort of stuff.
But you've got to be careful because that can come back and bite you. But we're asking you on 133353 for the big question today. Have you been a part of Australia's criminal underworld? We can affect your voice. We can obviously, we're not using real names.
Oh, no.
But we want to hear your stories. We've got Darren on the line. Hello, Darren.
There you go, mate.
Very good indeed. All right, tell us your story and your experiences with the criminal underworld.
Bloke I grew up with, he was part of that whole underbelly stuff. And he went to jail for murder. And he was about to get off because they didn't have enough evidence for him to convict. But while he was in there, waiting to get out, something happened inside and he ended up stabbing someone in the throat with a shank. So he got life anyway. So these guys, mate, they just, people look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's great. When I grew up with this bloke, you know, you'd see him beat on his mum and you'd try and step in and because he was older and he'd beat the shit out of you. It's not what it's all cracked up to be.
Actually, mate, you said exactly, you grew up with him, your mates. What stopped?
Well, we weren't mates. It was a mate's brother, but
Did his brother go down the same path?
No, he started to, and then we managed to get him away from the people his brother was associated with.
Darren, what is it? One of those things where you're kind of having a few beers, and all of a sudden there's the criminal element's there. You're having a couple of beers, you have a conversation, then you go out with them one time, and before you know it, they slowly drag you in. Do they recruit that way, or do you kind of actively kind of have to work your way up progressively with crimes until they kind of know you as a crim that can be trusted because you've got a backstory, and then
grow up with them and you're around them, you don't get a choice. Put it this way, I once got a fork put through my hand because he couldn't hear the news because he couldn't hear about the drive-by shooting that had happened where we grew up.
Right, so you were talking to him and he didn't want to hear about it, so he put a fork through your hand.
No, I was talking to his brother. That's the way they are, mate. All you have to do is look at them the wrong way. It doesn't matter if you're a brother, sister, mother. They don't care.
So that's it, and that's what I think sometimes, Darren. People in show business and the sporting world forget that it's not just, it's not like The Sopranos. There's a really nasty edge to it. Thank you, Darren. Thanks for your call, mate. Let's get to Craig. Hello, Craig. Well, hang on a second, just one moment. Hello, Craig.
Hello, I'm Eric.
How you doing? Good?
Yeah, great, mate, great.
We don't have your voice affected at the moment. I can do that if need be.
No, look, I'm quite cool about that, so, yeah.
All right, mate, tell us about your experiences with the criminal underworld.
Well, my business is as far removed from it as possible, but I had a client stiff me for about 135K back in the mid-90s. I went down the solicitor's path to, you know, try and recoup it, and they said, you know, no assets in his name, you're just going to bankrupt him. And that's a lot of money. Even now, it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
and
right.
So someone suggested to me, I said, why don't you contact Tim Bristow? And I did that, and he said, look, he's no longer in the business, but he referred me on to another guy who was went by the name of... He's dead as well anyway.
Oh, okay. So, all right, so, yeah, obviously we're going to be very careful about defamation.
Yeah, correct. No, that's fine. Anyway, I had an interview with him, and he said, let's go to Perth and see the guy. And this guy that who I met was referred to was just unbelievably intimidating just looking at him. It was just, he was not a huge bloke, but he was, say, 5'7", quite broad, but of Irish Portuguese extraction. But he had cold black eyes that would just see through you, and quite intimidating. They burn through you, the eyes. But he told me on the flight over, he told me tales about police and triads and feeding people to sharks kidnappings and so forth, and I couldn't sleep.
So hang on, he had done these things himself. He'd fed people to sharks, or he'd been involved in it.
You know, this is what he'd referred to me.
And so, when you flew over to Perth, you've gone to get your money back, $135,000 you're owed. Did he recover that debt for you?
Not directly, but basically, because we were, this guy went screaming to, and the guy, he never said a word to this guy that owed me the money. He stood there in the background, and the guy went screaming to Perth CIB, and we were collected from our cab on our way to the airport after leaving there, Perth, because he then engaged a security guy to protect him, and he had, you know, my guy had never said a word to him, but one of the things that he said to me, he said, we'll get your money for you. He said, otherwise, we'll hit him that hard in the guts with a baseball bat. It'll take him a year to die. And I went, that's not my scene. I don't want to be involved with this. This is insane.
Yeah.
I ran a fairly simple, straight business, and here I am in the middle of this, and I just wanted to get back on with my life.
Craig, go.
Yeah, just the long and short of it was, after the interview with the police, the police came out and said, your associate, one of them, because we're taking a separate interview room, we said, your associate is one very smooth operator. And he charmed them even though in that way. But they referred us back, said, go back to Sydney and take it up with your solicitor. And the long and short of it is, what transpired was that the guy that owed me the money sort of made a verbal agreement to pay and then reneged on it again. I took that back to my solicitor. We took it to a judge and got a basically he gave a subpoena for him to come back to Sydney, and that scared him into, he didn't want to come over onto my associate's turf.
And we
negotiated a settlement.
What's concerning there, of course, is that Craig owns a childcare facility.
Merrick's joking.
Merrick's giving you a pre-holiday holiday.
Are you ready for summer?
American Australia's Adventure Island, thanks to Sea-Doo, Triple M.
That's right. I've got a big summer planned of heading to my mum's place. That's right. I'm a 43-year-old man going to have Christmas holidays at his mum's house with his kids and his family.
You're just kidding me.
No, that's it.
Are you
driving there in a car and everything?
Are you sleeping in the annex?
Yeah, no, sleeping in the guest room.
Which used to be your room?
No, it used to be my brother's room. Now it's the guest. No, Mum. It's Beachy's room. Okay, that's what it is.
In your brother's room.
Yeah, exactly. But the good thing is the kids can sleep right next door to us in a room that's got an adjacent door. So it's good because we don't want any privacy. So that's looking forward to that.
Just make sure the kids don't find your brother's old porn stash.
Ooh. Probably won't. I think mum might have got rid of it. So we're having a pre-holiday.
This sounds cool.
Yeah. I'm going to take 5 listeners and 5 of their friends are going to come with them and we are going to go to Adventure Island.
Should I just point out that's 1 friend per listener?
Yeah. So you go, it's 5 people coming, and then you bring a friend as well.
Yeah.
Wingman, we'll call him a wingman.
Yeah.
You can go to the trip, if you go to triplem.com.au, hit the win page, you can get details there. All you have to do is just tell us about a crappy holiday, a family holiday that you have coming up. Maybe you're doing the same thing as me. You've got to go and visit some relatives. Maybe your relatives live in Coober Pedy and you're just going, can't wait to drive there and look at some holes in the ground.
I used to love Christmas at grandma's.
Oh, I see. But this is a pre-holiday. Because once we've done this, then all of Christmas and all of the entire December period will just be like, oh, that's sweet. Whatever. Nothing can touch us now.
You walk into grandma's place, you go, it's the middle of summer. Why does this still smell like corned beef?
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny you should say that. That's exactly what my mum's house smells like. You know what the last meal I had at my mum's house, which is not that long ago, only a couple of weeks ago? Corned beef. But I love it. Have you said that? It's awesome. Mum, don't stop. So look. Here's the thing. We're going to have a great time at Adventure Island. We're going to be riding Sea-Doos, which are just...
Oh, that's cool.
Wicked fun.
That is cool fun.
So much wicked fun. So many activities. So many great things to do. I just realised today I haven't actually told / asked my wife, Georgie. Now, we're going next week. And I've just... Because the boy said to me, "Oh, you've ticked this off with Georgie. How's Georgie about it?" And I went, "Oh, yeah. Oh,
so, when are you leaving? When are you getting back?"
Next Friday. So.
You're leaving Friday and you're getting back
on the weekend. At the end of the week.
Oh, mate, I got that covered for you.
Mm. Yeah.
If I want to go somewhere on a Friday, and then not get back to the end of the weekend, I just said to my wife, "Darling, how about this Friday? You go out to lunch with the girls. She doesn't notice I'm gone till Saturday afternoon."
Okay. Good point.
You know, around about 3 o'clock, she's wandering around going, "Where's the idiot?" That's what I call her.
Yeah, good plan. That beats my plan. What I was going to do is I was going to turn the gas on for a little while in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I saw her getting a bit sleepy, I was going to say, "I'm going to Adventure Island." So that's... No? What are you...
Wow, gee, I thought...
Oh, okay, sorry. Shoot a guy down for having an idea.
Gee,
We don't smoke. It's not like I was going to blow us up. I was just going to gas us all slightly, just a little bit, just to make her woozy so I could get Adventure Island over the...
Gee, I thought I was going to be in trouble when I got home. Here's the other one. Darling, we've spent so much time together. I think you need some me time.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah.
What about I could say, you know what, Georgie, you've been really working really hard lately with the kids. Why don't you have some you time with the kids?
With the kids, yeah.
With the kids. Look, let's open up the phones. 133-53. What's your surefire tip to convince the missus that you're going away on a trip? I want to get, if you've used some in the past, you've got an excuse, you've got a way to kind of break the ice, to get around it, to make the missus happy so that you can go away for your weekend with the lads, have a great time, guilt-free, no dramas, no kind of anxiety about being away. Give us a call, 133-53. What are some of the tricks that you've used in the past?
I once told Laura I was going to do a yoga retreat. She said, "You're going to Newcastle to get drunk." I went, "Yeah, same thing."
No, that's a yoga retreat. Well, you're retreating. 133-53, give us a call now because I'm going to take a list of your suggestions and then I'm going to use that in a script to call my wife and tell her. Should I not have said that part on air? I probably shouldn't have said the thing about the gas either.
You're not really good on this whole marriage thing, are you?
I'm having a crack.
Merrick's giving you a pre-holiday.
Are you ready for summer?
American Australia's Adventure Island, thanks to Sea-Doo, Triple M.
Absolutely, nothing beats a summer of Sea-Doo family fun from just $7,999. Visit Sea-Doo.com. I can vouch for them. I've ridden them. They're insane. We're going to go away and we're going to ride some of those. We're going to have a great time. Mikey, I'm taking 5 lucky winners and 5 of their friends. Go to triplem.com.au, hit the win page for details. I may have neglected to tell my missus, so I'm looking for some tips on how I should break this to my missus that, oh, by the way, you know how I haven't told you, next weekend I'm going to Adventure Island. I'm going to give her some of the details, and then she's going to go, "What is this crap?"
Yeah, and also, too, there better not be anything special planned for the Watts household for that weekend?
I think there is.
Yeah,
there
probably is. Always is.
I think it's something to do with it. Probably just something a little like an anniversary or something. I don't know. Look, I don't pay that much attention. Getting your tips, though, 133353. Got Alex on the line. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How are you going?
Very good. Obviously, I need some tips to convince my missus that this is actually a work trip, that it's important that I go on it. I've got a hornswoggle here. What have you got in mind?
Yeah, mate. Well, basically, I've gone on a couple of work trips in the past. I'm a roofer by trade. Mm-hmm. So when I want to go out with the boys, I'll be like, I'll just say I've got another work trip coming up for this weekend and I'm going to have to go away for that. But I'll be out camping with the mates up somewhere in Newcastle. So.
Why is it always Newcastle?
Because, it's God's own, isn't it, mate?
It's, what is it? 9 Mile Beach.
Oh, great spot.
Yeah, no, I love Newcastle. That's another thing. But it's just like everybody has to lie to go to Newcastle. Like, you know, just go, where are you going? No, not Newcastle.
Anywhere but Newcastle.
Go somewhere else.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Conference, work conference.
Yeah, she's not going to buy that. Georgia wouldn't buy that. She's going to go, conference, as if A, you'd pay attention, and B, you'd be invited.
No, fair enough.
So, no, all right. But I don't mind Alex's idea. Steve, hello.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Very good indeed. I've got to ring my missus shortly, and I need some pointers on how I can break it to her that I'm going to Adventure Island after neglecting to tell her something that I've known for at least 6 weeks.
Mate, it's reverse psychology. You should have been planning this long time ago. What you need to do is whenever she wants to go for a night out, go for it. You go out, darling. I'll look after the kids. Keep that up, mate. She's gone away for a weekend where I've gone ahead and packed biscuits and chips and dips and everything like that for her. And, mate, and then when she gets back, she goes, oh, how'd you go? I've had a great time. Oh, that's good, you know. And she goes, well, why don't you organise a weekend away with the boys?
Oh.
Not a problem.
Reverse psychology, Steve. I like it.
Of course.
Steve, brilliant idea. There's a brilliant idea.
I've got about four on her at the moment, so I'm ready for about four trips away at the moment, which is fantastic.
Thailand.
Yeah, so that's brilliant, mate, but you've done the legwork, whereas the man I'm staring at is about 6 weeks behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
Mate, a bit soft, mate. You should have already been planning it. You've got to think ahead, Merrick. You've got to think ahead, mate.
No, I can't, Steve. We know I'm not capable of that. I've left it to... This is like... reminds me so much of my school career. Well, career is a big word for what I did at school.
Should have
but
planned.
Just cramming all in the end, just going, okay, has anybody got the answers? Where are the answers? I haven't done... I've got an essay tomorrow. I haven't done any writing.
Mez, before you make the call to Georgie... we've had some suggestions come through on Twitter.
Yes, okay.
All right, a couple of other tips. This one's come from Jerry. Tell her that you'll watch any movie of her choice when you're back.
Oh, she likes foreign films because she knows I can't understand the words.
And Sam has suggested that promise her you'll finally get around to doing that one thing around the house you keep putting off.
Oh, sex. Oh, there we go.
As
if. That's quite funny, though.
Yeah, it was funny, but gee, you actually do walk around with a shovel, don't you? Just trying to dig the hole a little bit deeper. I reckon you got a tough one here, mate.
I know. I'm going to work with the clues that I've been given by the boys. And up next, I'm going to ring my missus. You watch me bedazzle her. Have you ever seen a chicken hypnotised?
Yes, mate.
What? I'm not having a great day for talking, am I? I didn't mean it like that.
Merrick's giving you a pre-holiday holiday.
Are you ready for summer?
Merrick and Australia's Adventure Island. Thanks to Sea-Doo. Triple M.
Yeah, for your chance to win and come with me, go to the win page at triplem.com.au because we're going next Friday and it is going to be an absolute cracker.
If you're allowed to go.
Yeah. I may have forgotten to mention this to Georgie because it's just been... There's been so much on, mate. I've been taking some tips on how to break this to Georgie because she's going to be left with the kids. And I don't know. My kids are nightmares. Let's not lie. They're not listening right now because I know that it's Tuesday. Yeah. It's swimming practice.
Of course. There you go.
So what I'll do now is I'm going to use your tips to explain to Georgie that I've got to go away for a work trip, which she will probably suspect is not real work because she's never seen me do that before. Let's give her a call now.
What could go wrong?
It's not a prank. It's definitely not a prank call. It's not a prank call.
Hello?
Oh, hi, darling. It's me. How are you going?
Oh, hi, Toots. What's going on?
All right. Hey, just in a song now. I'm just about to leave, come home. What are we having for dinner tonight?
You're making me spaghetti.
Spaghetti. Awesome. I'll do that. Because I'm a good bloke is what I am. Hey, listen, next weekend, there is a foreign movie extravaganza on Foxtel, and I thought maybe you might want to watch that all weekend. And there's some chocolates in the fridge and some bags of chips in the pantry and stuff like that. I thought maybe I'd treat you and let you watch movies all weekend.
Cool.
Girls' weekend for one.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's really awesome because I never get to choose a movie.
No, that's right. So I thought, and also too, forgot the boys told me, bloody work things come up. I've got to go to Adventure Island next weekend. So
Adventure Island?
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
It sounds bloody awesome because it is. It's all right. It's okay. It's just a work thing. I've got to. It's kind of like a conference. It's a conference.
Okay.
It's a work conference. We go there and we
work.
It's a lot of charts.
Okay.
And, there's a whiteboard.
Well, if it's work and you can't get out of it, you have to do it, right?
Exactly. And you know, I've got to bring home the spaghetti. So I'll be doing that. Okay.
Okay. No, that's okay. It's work. You have to do it. It's work. You got to do it. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we both know that you're sounding like you're reasonable at the moment, but when I get off the phone, you're not going to be reasonable anymore because I know you. And this is your acting voice. I know your acting voice.
It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. Okay. It's fine.
If there's a bear trap at the door when I get home,
no.
Should I step in it or should I?
No, it's okay because I just remembered when I'd had a couple of wines too many on Sunday night, you did say that I could buy a pretty frock and put it on your credit card, and I'd forgotten about it until just now, but I just remembered. So you go and you do your work and your conference and your charts and everything. It's okay.
I did too.
Ha.
You really have done that, haven't you? You're buying shit online again, haven't you? I don't feel bad about Adventure Island at all. I'm going to go there and ride cedars. I'm going to have a great time.
Have a great time.
Yeah, I'm going to have a bloody awesome time because you know why I deserve it? Because I've had a big week of buying frocks. I've just been played.
Yeah, man.
I've completely forgot about that.
But you know what? I'm giving you a solid 2 out of 10 for that.
Well, here's the thing. I might get a 2 out of 10, but I'm going to Adventure Island. Boom!
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
For even more, subscribe to the Merrick and Australia podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app. Triple M.